tell the church very clearly. Let's look at that. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen? Therefore, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But therefore, resist him. Amen. So unless you know how he operates and how he comes against the believer, you will never be able to resist him. Are you with me? Amen. And until you resist him, you won't have victory. Are you with me tonight? Are you still with me tonight? Is your mind alert? Amen. Hallelujah. It's spoken about a man who went, I read about a man who went for a boxing match. And the coach was there by his side, and he goes into the first round to box. And he's boxing. And the first round, he's hit a couple of times, he comes back, and the coach wants to keep him motivated. The coach tells him, nothing has happened to you, don't worry. The enemy didn't get one touch on you. You're strong. Just go there and finish him off. He goes for the second round. And again he gets punched real bad. His eye is scarred, blood is oozing out of his nose. He's got a other eye is black. Comes back to his corner of the second round. The coach again wants to keep him motivated. Tells him, nothing has happened. You're so good. Not one touch. Can you imagine? Not one touch on you. You're such a great fighter. You're great. Just go out there and hit him again. And the third round, again this man goes in. This time he's really pulped. He gets smashed around. He comes back with no more strength to go. He can hardly get back to his corner. He's dragging himself, trying to get to his corner. Sits there again. The coach puts him on the chair. You're great. See, the enemy couldn't touch you. You're a great fighter. And this time this guy says, please coach, when I go out there and fight, please make sure that you watch the referee, because I think he's hitting me real bad. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you are getting hit again and again. Week after week you come and say, great, nice, how are you looking good? I say, praise the Lord. You go back all through the week, the devil is punching you somewhere. And you come back again, dragging one more week to the ministry. Somehow just getting barely to the door. Once again, the coach gives you some water. Gives you, wipes your face. Tells you to get refreshed. Go back. You go back again and you're out there. Again you get popped and it looks like nothing has happened. You can hardly see through one eye. You got this plastic smile. The cheerleaders are there. You somehow reach there. Again, you are given some water. Again, refreshed, going back. But some time it has to stop. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. If the coach had said, listen, the enemy hit you, and this is where he hit you. That is his strength, and this is your weakness. Watch out for his left punch. You think his left arm is weak, but that's the one that is strong. And you think your right arm is strong, but actually he's been hitting you right there. So watch out. That's what it means in 1 Peter 5. Be vigilant. Are you with me? Be vigilant.
We're going to pray for revival. We're going to pray that God will lose you and set you free, and that you are in the high places worshiping the Lord and rejoicing in the fullness and being blessed. But we don't want to ignore the enemy or underestimate him. We're going to allow the Holy Ghost to teach us on how he operates, how he works, and what he's trying to do. So you can make sure that you're steadfast. You know. Anybody wants to know here? Come on, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's look to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. The 13th chapter of Matthew. The 19th verse. See, why I'm giving you this is tomorrow we're going to pray. And before we pray together and before we ask the Lord to anoint us and all that, we're going to make sure that if there are any open doors that we're given to the enemy, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to close it. Amen? And we're going to be watchful. We're going to pray and be vigilant. Amen? Hallelujah. The 13th chapter of Matthew and the 19th verse. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And this is he who received seed by the wayside. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is the devil, he's not all powerful, but he's got power. And he's got really good power. Because my Bible says that 1 John 5 says that the whole world lies under him, which means to influence and control the whole world, that's quite a power. But that's not omnipotent power. Amen? That's a power, but that's not omnipotent power. Are you with me? Amen. And one of the things that the enemy tries to do is that the enemy tries to snatch away the thoughts which God has put into you, the seed of his word which is put into you. He tries to take it out of your mind. So what happens is he tries to do it immediately sometimes or sometimes later. That is why after a meeting you go back and you can't remember a single scripture or a symbol verse that was preached there that night, or you can't understand or you can't grasp that which God has put into you, and you go back and do the very same things that you've been doing before. Why? Because the enemy made sure that the word which was sown did not register or sink in or penetrate into your inner man. He just snatched it away from you. Amen. Hallelujah. That is why in certain churches, even before they pray, even before they hear the word of God, they pray. Even the congregation prays. Holy Spirit, help us. Open our understanding. Help us to take the word and keep it in our minds, in our hearts. Help us. Amen. Some of you don't realize it, but you need to understand this. Because he tries to take away the word immediately if possible. He just tries to take it away. And that is why after you have heard the word, how many of you have been assured of your salvation once you have received the Lord, once you have repented? How many of you have been assured of the Lord's forgiveness when you have been washed in his blood? You knew you were called. But when you have gone out of this house or out of your fellowship and gone somewhere or out of your prayer closet, suddenly you forget your call. Why? Because the enemy is taking it away. Are you with me? He's taken it away from you. So unless you understand how the enemy operates, he tries to take away that which is sown into your heart. It can be a godly inspiration which the Spirit of God has put into you. It can be the word. But he tries to take it away from you. Come on, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only does he try to take away that which God puts into you, but Acts 5, look at that. Let's get to it. Let's learn. And many times church believers, you know, do not know who they are, what they are, their call, all that. They suddenly forget. Are you with me? See, when you were of the devil, you never thought you were of the devil. You thought there was nothing wrong with you. Now, how come once you're born again, come to the Lord and been, inspired to read the word and hear the Lord's word and worship the Lord, suddenly you realize, oh my God, there should be something wrong with me. I think I am under the devil's power. How come you think of that then? You've been redeemed, set free. Are you with me? Now, he's a deceiver. He's a liar. See, if he can take the word out of you and the assurance out of you, then he can penetrate you with any lie. Do you hear that? Now look to Acts chapter 5. It is amazing here. I just want to highlight one word. The third verse. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? And look at the fourth verse. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Underline that word, conceive this thing in your heart. You hear that? Now read the third verse once again. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Underline that. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is, not only does the devil take the word out of your mind, but he puts something into you and makes you think it originated with you. Did you get it? How many of you got it? Not only does the devil take away that which is sown into you, but he has got the power to put thoughts into you. You hear that? And he puts the thought into you. Look, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Are you with me? But the third verse says, why have you reasoned like this in your heart? Or conceived this thing in your heart? It is not he conceiving, but the devil actually having put it into his. So the devil can put a thought into you and then make you think that you thought it. Come on, church. He's so subtle. He can put a thought into you and make you think, oh my God, saved people don't think that way. You hear that? He put a thought into you, a bad thought. And suddenly you get this bad thought and say, oh my God, have a good thought. And the devil says, see, saved people don't think that way. He says, yeah. I must be a bad person. He puts that thought. Amen. Not only takes the word out, but puts thoughts into you. And some of you are getting cloud in your mind because you are not able to sense and discern the thoughts that have come into your mind. Every thought that's come into your mind, you thought it's of the Holy Spirit. Or you thought it came from you. But you've forgotten there's an enemy. If it's the thought of the enemy, there will always be condemnation attached to it. The thoughts of the enemy will always pull you down. Will always pull you down. Are you with me? But thoughts of the Lord will always lift you up. In Psalms 3 it says, he's the lifter up of our head. The Lord lifts you up. The enemy puts you down. Come on, church. So one of the things that he does is take a thought out of you that God has put. In other words, sometimes what he does after he can, if he can get to do that, he can put thoughts into you. And that's why you need to allow the Spirit of God and you yourself to, together with the Spirit, to renew your mind with the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He can tempt you with a thought, can't he? One thought, a temptation. That's enough to make you lose your energy inside. It's no use why I fasted and prayed all this time. I thought I had forgiven that person. Look, oh my God. If you understand that, you will give in to it. And when you give in to it, the enemy knows you're giving in. And he will put that thought and put the seed of his lie into that very area of your mind which is weak. He will attack your weak area. If your area is pride, he'll attack that area. If your area is unforgiveness, he will attack that area. If your area is gossip, he will attack that area. If it is lust or uncleanness, he will attack that area. He will attack that very area which is your weak area. Are you with me? Now, your weak area might not be my weak area. Sometimes it might. Then we are both in trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once you understand the subtle ways in which the enemy works, we can take a guard against it. Hallelujah. Now, look to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. The fourth chapter. The fourth chapter, verses 1 onwards. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, always a temptation is against any scriptural principles. Are you with me? So that you get to do wrong. Temptation is always against scriptural principles to get you to do wrong. Now, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Amen. What I want to highlight is this. He can put a thought of temptation into your mind, and mind is generally the area of the battlefield. Hear that? In 2 Corinthians 4, it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds, the mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, strongholds in the mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, just like Eve was deceived by the serpent in her mind. Because I'm scared, you will go from the simplicity of your faith in Christ. See, the area of attack in all those times was the mind. Are you with me? If you get to agree with the devil in your mind, then you will see that he can influence your behavior. Are you with me? A bondage in your behavior is broken by the bondage being broken in your mind. If you try to break the bondage in your behavior without breaking the bondage in your mind, then it won't stay broken. That'll be broken indeed when you pray and ask the Lord, but you will still think the same way and the devil can again deceive you. Hear that? So it is always truth in the mind that sets you free from the lie of the enemy. Now here it says, now what temptation? The devil is coming to Jesus and tempting him. Now, one of the things about the devil's temptation here is the devil wanted Jesus to do the right thing in the wrong way. And that's the temptation. Hear me well again, please. The devil wanted Jesus to do the right thing in the wrong way. Are you with me tonight? Come on, church. To do the right thing in the wrong way. Why do I say that? Because you look at the word it says here. In all the three temptations, one, the Bible says here, when he had eaten nothing, and afterward when he was hungry. There's nothing wrong with eating when you're hungry. The devil said, listen, turn the stones into bread. There's nothing wrong with eating. Are you with me? When you're hungry, you eat. There's nothing wrong with it. But do it the wrong way. We'll come to that. The second one, the fifth verse, the devil taking him up on a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me and I give it to whomever I wish. Again, the right thing and the wrong way. Jesus can have the kingship over all those kingdoms later on. He's the King of Kings. But when you have to have the right thing in the wrong way, there's a problem. You understand that? There's nothing wrong with riches. But when you try to get riches the wrong way, there is a problem. There is nothing wrong with sex in marriage. But when you try to have it the wrong way, there's a problem. And that's where the enemy tries to deceive you. You hear that? Huh? See, third one. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you." So there is nothing wrong in trusting the Lord for protection. Are you with me? But when you have to jump off the window to show your faith, there's something wrong. You can say, "Lord, protect me." Nothing wrong with it. You can trust Him for protection. But when you try to show your faith by doing something extraordinary, there's a problem, isn't there? When you're driving the car at 50 kilometers per hour and say, "Lord, protect me," there's something wrong. But when you touch 160, so you're taking a chance. Are you with me? That's what the devil wanted him to do. Not by faith, but walk by chance. Take a chance. It's one of the deceptions of all those temptations you'll find is to get you to extremes. That's why some people, when they come for prayer and they're fasting and praying, they say, "Lord, get me free from sexual bondage. Free me." And they're praying and praying. God hears them. The Lord sets them free. But what they're asking is, "Lord," now they don't want to have anything to do with sex. It's another extreme. Are you with me? It's a gift that God created. And so they don't understand that. So the minute they've been praying and saying, "Lord, get everything out of me." Anybody pray like that? And what happens is, when you do that, that's not biblical. Because it's something which God has created, which God has gifted you with. But you're taking it to an excess, extreme. So the devil always tries to get you an extreme. What you should ask is, "Lord, give me self-control. Help me to know how to handle my sexuality well. Give me the wisdom and the maturity to handle it." Are you with me? No amount of you fasting and praying and crying on the floor won't get you out of your sexuality. That's something which God has put you there, put inside of you. Amen. So he always tries to get you off balance, get you to extremes. Listen to this. In Psalms 32, it says there, I believe it is the 8th or the 9th verse, which says, "Do not be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding." Huh? Do not be like the horse or the mule. You hear that? What is the Lord trying to say? Don't get into extremes. The horse always wants to go forward. And the mule always wants to stay back. Horse always wants to search forward. Go forward. They're fasting and saying, "You know, when I was praying today, I saw a Bible and a rocket on top of that." And I said, "Lord, what is this? It's very strange." The Lord said, yeah. That's what some of the people in the congregation are trying to do. Just trying to get the word into them and go rocket wise. Growth, spiritual growth. It's a deception. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Get the word into them. What a poker. Hallelujah. It doesn't happen that way. Are you with me? You know, I was speaking with a man of God. He said, told me, "Pastor, stay always balanced. Stay balanced." There are men of God who are all full of fire for 3 weeks and then out of action for the rest of their lives. Stay balanced. Don't be the horse or the mule. Stay balanced. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Have you seen people like that? Have you seen people who have matured over years? Maybe serving God 50 years, 60 years. Oh, there's a maturity. Look at Kenneth Hagin. Maturity. Balance. Look at Bennigan. There's balance in his life. He believes in the gifts of the Spirit. He functions under the anointing of God. There's balance. He'll tell you the need of a proper rest, relaxation, practical wisdom. All that. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. The devil, the reason he came to Jesus, listen, is to make sure that get the right thing in the wrong way. And that's exactly how he comes against us. What did the Lord do? The Lord resisted him. Are you with me? How did the Lord resist him? So when you look at the armor of God in Ephesians 6, it speaks about the weapons of our warfare. Amen. Our spiritual equipment. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people have never moved in those, precious equipment which God has given us. Some people play the fool. You understand that in the proper way. Now, of all the weapons there, let me just come to this. The one that is offensive is the word of God, the sword. The rest of it is actually defensive equipment. But the one that is offensive is the word of God, the sword. And you resist the devil against your life, no matter what way of temptation he comes by, to make you lose your balance, to make you fall down. You resist him by the word. Not any other way. Now, praying is good and is needed, but the Bible doesn't say submit to God and pray and he will flee from you. Submit to God and resist. Well, praying is important. But praying, some people get discouraged with prayer because they're understanding why God created all those things and they're not handling it the right way. Prayer is needed, prayer is important. But when you're facing the enemy and when there is an attack against your life continuously, you need to make sure that if you're going to have biblical results, you're going to have biblical principles to follow. If you want to see the devil flee from you and the oppression of the enemy against you cease, you need to have biblical principles applied. Now you can't tithe and say, devil, get off my back. Are you with me? Tithing is important. It's good. But you can't buy the devil off. Come on. Tithing is important. You need a tithe. But submit to God and tithe and the devil will flee from you. Is it? No. Well, it says in Malachi 3, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That is in the area of your finances, in the area of your work, not in the area of your personal life. So what happens to some people is that they tithe, and I've seen people give money and they do it. Oh, somehow, Pastor, please pray. I will pray even if you tithe and don't tithe. But you understand. Fasting is good. It is important, needed. As a matter of fact, God is calling us to one of the 7 days of fasting. Well, we obey the Lord, don't we? Amen. Well, I'm not sure whether we should have it continuously on or 7 days next month. I'm not sure, but God said this year, and there's only one more month. Are you with me? And if he's telling us to press on with one more week of fasting, we need to do that. But if he's telling us to fast on and pray again for a week in the month of December, we need to do that. The Lord spoke and said that he would break bondages in the church of people who are in captivity. I was praying and I was crying for the church and praying. God said he would break off their captivity and release them, by this fast and the 7 more days, sure, and by the fast that we have into the 2004 beginning. To have a 21-day fast in the beginning and by this fast. He said, boom, tremendous release would come over the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, fasting is important. It's needed. Prayer is important. It's needed. Tithing is important. It's needed. All that are good scriptural principles. But when you're facing an attack of the enemy in one area of your life, what you need to do is learn to resist, especially in the area of temptation. Learn to resist, and you resist by the word of the Lord. The devil go to the scripture, not the first time. The first time the devil just came to the reason. Are you with me? Appeal to the appetite of Jesus and the desire for food. Amen. It is amazing how the devil will come at your weakest moment. When the Lord had finished his fasting, as the Bible says, and he's really hungry. Are you with me? Huh? Some of you are really hungry even without fasting. I said, somebody came and said, I'm feeling very tired, Pastor. I thought you must have been fasting for the last 7 days. I asked him, no, just tired. Hallelujah. Resist. Amen. Resist in faith. That's what Peter says. Amen. When you use your weapon, you need to use it in faith. Are you with me? So what happens in the beginning, since you have never used a weapon, when the enemy has come against your wicked side, sometimes faith might not be like a Smith Wigglesworth faith. Strong. Boom. It might not be that way. You might say, oh my God. Sure. Are you with me? You might just try quoting a scripture, hoping and wishing the devil will go away. And again you fall. Anyway, it never worked. It works. But you didn't do it in faith. So you need to get up. Learn. Amen. Learn. Get up. Get under the blood of Jesus. Have your sins forgiven. And again say, Lord, let me learn. Same again, he comes. Boom. You held on for the first day. Boom. He comes with the same temptation the second day. You thought it had gone. Comes back. Boom. Again, you hold on. The third day, again, you fall. Get discouraged, depressed. Get up. Get under the blood. Repent. Again. Boom. He comes. Same area. Same temptation. If you look at your struggles, it is the same area. Same area. Are you with me? Again, resist. The first time you resisted, he comes the second time. Again, you resist. The third time you resist. The fourth time. Are you with me? And then you will suddenly begin to find, hey, it works. The devil will get the message. Are you with me? Amen. Use the sword. Use the sword. That's how we mature. That's how we get strong inside. Amen. Hallelujah. He comes at your weak areas. Are you with me? That's why sometimes if you're not enjoying your marriage, and if there is a kind of problem in your marriage and you're not enjoying your relationship, that's the time suddenly you will find somebody attractive and good coming to you who's understanding, helping you. Are you with me? See, the temptation comes at the right area, at the right time. Suddenly you find somebody coming and say, oh, I understand your problem. Oh, my husband doesn't understand my problem. Look at this person. He understands my problem. You're going through a financial trouble and you're getting through a financial mess and you're sitting there and saying, how do I get out of it? And that's the time suddenly a quick, rich scheme comes about. And this is what God said. No, 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 no. It's a temptation. Are you with me? It's the devil. Are you with me? Suddenly, if I get, boom, this come on. No, no, no. It's up the devil. He's attacking you at your weakest moment. He knows you're vulnerable now. You know, I hope they're not here today. There was a couple who was coming here. God was bringing them step by step out of a curse of financial debt and bringing them out. They were just coming out. And the minute they were coming out, suddenly a person came to them with a business deal. Coming out, and suddenly there came a point of time they had to wait some time to see the finances released. As they were waiting on, a person came to them when they were the weakest and said, listen, do this. And everything will be okay. Quick money, out of it. They just fell into it. But in my spirit, I felt a check. The Spirit of God saying, no. But there's an authority that you have which you use only when people ask you. You don't go and tell them that until you know very sure they're submissive and they're really open. I just felt a check inside of me and I said, no. They went to some of the men of God, they prayed and said, go ahead, God send, fine. 2 months it was okay, quick money. 3rd month, now there are people around the house willing to kill them. It was a big trap. Came at the most vulnerable time. Why? Because they were ignorant of the devil's schemes. Are you with me? When you're feeling the lowest and weakest, that's the time the enemy comes. In whichever area that you are, when Jesus was really hungry, if the devil had come in the beginning of the fast, he would have said, no. Are you with me? I've seen people break their fast just a day or an hour before the church fasting is going to get over. And then they feel guilty. They say, oh my God. I just broke all my fast. They were holding on. And suddenly the very food that they wanted. Some people believe in dreams and visions because they're always having it now. Seeing visions and dreams of hamburgers and ice creams. And some people say, no. Restless. Are you with me? Came at the worst, weakest moment. Now he resisted by the word. Amen. Now what happens to us is, it's something good. We are people who are Godward. In other words, what I'm saying says, every prayer that we make, every fasting, every fellowship, every time you come for worship, we say, take your eyes off yourself, take your eyes off your situation, look to the Lord and worship Him. You look to that and worship the Lord. Are you with me? That's important. That's needed. But this word resist means actually to fight back. Are you with me? To fight back. When Jayalalitha sent those, police into the Hindu office to get the editors to be arrested for 7 days, they resisted. How did they resist? They went to the Supreme Court. They tried to get away from that place. In other words, they didn't give into their hands. Are you with me? Sometime back when she tried to with the opposition leader in the beginning of her political career this time, when she tried to arrest that guy, punched the police again. It was resisting. Amen? So it depends upon your situation, upon your area. We're all God, but there might be a time when you say, no devil, that's enough. I resist you now. You're not going to try the discouragement with me again. You're not going to try the unbelief with me again. You're going to not try the same stuff, bring in the same temptations. No, I was just kidding. Are you with me? And I resist you in the name of Jesus. It's time you say that. And when you begin saying it with authority and faith, sometimes God trains you, but He builds you up for warfare. When you learn to say it in faith and in assurance, boom, you will find the enemy realizing. Are you with me? It says here, listen, in Luke 4 and verse 13, when the Lord had resisted him, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. It's not forever. Are you with me? See, you need to understand this. The devil left for an opportune time. Some people are fasting and praying, they want to have a perpetual victory, once forever. Now, you need to understand this. We are in a battlefield. Amen. We have an enemy and we have a Jesus coming in great glory one of these days. Till Jesus comes and picks us up and takes us to be with him in glory, we have days and seasons of attacks coming against him. Resist. And then there's a season of peace and rest. Hallelujah. Peacefulness and all that. When you can sip your coffee without feeling guilty. Are you with me? And just enjoy the ordinary things of life without feeling guilty and terrible. And suddenly when you're going about in life after 3 months or 4 months or maybe 2 weeks or 1 week, depending upon person to person and situations and circumstances, the enemy comes again at an opportune time. Yeah, resist him again. Amen. Hallelujah. But you might sit here right now. Are you listening? Are you listening? See, I'm giving you something that is important. I can get it. I can come here and get into the Word of God and fly high and in the anointing and minister of Word and just go out. But you receive the Word and you enjoy the blessing here in the ministry, but you go out there and you're sitting alone and say, oh my God, how do I handle this? Well, this is application. This is application material for you. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. So you might sit here and say, listen, I'm too weak. And the devil seems too big and my body seems too big coming against me. How do I handle it? Let me tell you the key. Let me tell you this. See, Jesus disarmed, Colossians 2 says, disarmed the principalities and powers and made it a public spectacle by nailing it to the cross. Remember that? Colossians 2 says that. Amen. He disarmed the principalities and power and made the enemy a spectacle, a laughing stock, that's what it means. Amen. You know when? At the cross. At the cross was where Jesus was the weakest, naturally. Everyone around him has left him. His disciples have run away from him. There's nobody there. The whole Roman government, a Jewish nation, everybody's against him. He's bruised. He's wounded. But that's the time the Lord made a public spectacle of the enemy by putting it to shame on Calvary's cross. And the lesson there is this: no matter at any time when you are the weakest, still you can have the victory. Are you with me? Even at the weakest point of your time in life, you can have victory in His name. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, the devil doesn't fight fairly. Remember that always. Are you with me? He doesn't fight fairly. Have you seen that? And one of the ways that he comes is with compromise. And you think, okay, you know, I've seen men of God, a minister of the gospel, say, Listen, I don't think I'll minister anymore because the devil's attacking too much. Are you with me? And what do you think? The enemy is going to say, okay, fine, since you don't do public ministry, I want to attack you again. I understand, okay. Let's reach a compromise. No. Are you with me? Sometimes people say, okay, I won't pray. I think it's because I'm praying too much that I'm getting under warfare. I won't intercede again. So what is the devil supposed to make out of it? So he says, oh, you understand. Fair. You don't intercede, you don't pray, and I won't attack you. No. That's a lie. Are you with me? A lie he puts into your mind thinking, if you won't stand in the front line, if you won't minister, if you won't pray, and if you won't read the Bible, he won't attack you. That's a lie of the enemy. That's why you have to be aggressive. You have to say, no matter what, devil, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to walk with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, there's a thing that I've written here. When temptation and opportunity meet together, then we are in trouble. Hear that? When temptation and opportunity meet together, then we are in trouble. That's what the devil is trying to do. Some of you struggle with temptations in your mind and in your thought. What happens if the opportunity comes? He'll make sure the opportunity comes for you. Are you with me? Then it's big trouble. You hear that? That's the weakest moment. That's the weakest moment. If you have a drinking problem, and he knows you have a drinking problem, he tempts you with drinks, you resist him. But what happens if the opportunity comes? Suddenly, next day, you suddenly realize your bank account is rich and thick. You have plenty of money coming into you. And suddenly your uncle, who likes to drink, and your brother-in-law who loves to have a nice, good drink before dinner, and 12 after dinner, comes about. See, it's temptation, opportunity meeting together. Are you with me? You're all the tempted.
Oh my God, is this the enemy?
That's why you need to avoid the occasions of sin or the place of sin. You're already being tempted with uncleanness, and you have an opportunity to have your own computer on it and watch filth. Boom, bondage. Are you with me? You have an opportunity. I mean, opportunity has been lying there. And the next thing would be that which you saw, you will find the opportunity coming in your life to exactly do that. Hear that? And that's the time you don't lift your hand and say, God answered my prayer. That's the time you learn it's the devil. How many of you understand what I'm saying, church? At the time you learn to resist them and fight. That's the time when you need to take your guard and learn to discipline your life so that opportunities don't come. Are you with me? Huh? Opportunities don't come. And let me tell you something here. See, When God created Adam, God took dust from the ground and created Adam. You remember that? And God said, looking at Adam, it is not good that he be alone, man be alone. And so God created a helpmate for him. Remember that? Now where did God create the helpmate from? You would expect God to take some more dust or dirt and mix up and bring out the woman. But no. God brought the woman out of the man. Are you with me? And that's the reason, remember this, that's the reason that men and women have a liking for each other. It's a drawing. Are you with me? Because there were one when God initially created. The woman was born of the man. And so there is a, without you realizing, amen. Even if it's, you know, once you begin to enter into teens and all that sort of thing, everything changes. Even the old age and all that. No matter, you might be married, you might have 10 children or 20 children. But that's there. And that's why you don't give it an opportunity. You know how to discipline. You don't say, listen, I speak in the Holy Ghost. I know 100 scriptures. And boom. No. That's when you learn discipline. No. I think it was Benihin who said, there's something that burns brighter or faster than the Holy Spirit. It's human passion. Are you with me? Burns faster. Discipline. Mm. And that's why even in the ministry I have an order here. Say, girls, get out. Make sure that you can give it an opportunity. Make sure that discipline is there. Hear that? Oh, how many of you understanding this? How many of you? Now let's look to it. Now, Ephesians 6. Let's get to Ephesians 6. And the 10th verse onwards. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles of the devil. Wiles of the devil is to deceive. It's deception. Wiles of the devil. Stand against the wiles of the devil. That's for deception. The reason of deception is to wreck your Christian life. Are you with me? You know, I read somewhere that pirates used to wreck a ship by showing false light, not the real light of the land. False light. And when the ship sees the false light in the night, it's looking for direction. See, there's a lighthouse somewhere, but it's not a lighthouse. It's heading right towards the rocks. And the pirates are waiting there to capture and destroy. And that's why we say even the devil disguises himself as an angel of the light. To deceive. Even the elect. To show it some light. Now, I had a problem bringing in, you know, other people here to minister from outside. So I'm not sure. Some of them I don't even know. And this is when people come and ask me, can I go and pray? I don't know. You want to go and pray? Please go and pray. I don't know. And how do you take the balance? How do you say it in the right way? And if they're going to come and prophesy, if they minister from here, I watch, I hear. If there's something wrong, I try to put it right. But I watch. If they're prophesying over someone, if you're seen, I just go by their side and listen to it. If it's wrong for a prophecy or a right one, if there's deception involved in the prophecy, it is coming from the human spirit. Deception, are you with me? Is one of the key things of the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The dart is always to hurt you. It's to hurt you, the dart of the enemy. Are you with me? The enemy will send darts. That's to hurt. That's what the enemy did against Job. It can hurt you. It can hurt the things around you. It can hurt the family. It can hurt the wealth, the health, all that was hurt by darts. And sometimes you have to discern, is this of the enemy or what's it? The darts. Are you with me? Take the shield of faith and stand against it. Again, that's the word. The shield of faith. That's again the word. And that is the anointed word. Because the shield in those times would be anointed with oil. So the darts could come and hit it. Fiery darts. That's how the enemy would send. Darts could come and hit it and fall down. Be anointed. Rub them with oil. Smooth. Speaking of an anointed word. That's why you need to learn memorize scriptures. That is important. But you need to come week after week and hear anointed word. Rema. And if you have always seen that the word over a week will be that which you have been needing for the next week. Are you with me? And in other words, the Spirit of God is actually preparing you beforehand. So you won't be caught unawares when the enemy comes. But if you forget there's a battlefield and if there's an enemy and there's an enemy against you, against your growth, against your life, against your ministry, against your family, against the things that you do and all that you have, until and unless you realize that there's an enemy and until and unless you learn how to understand the workings of the enemy, my brother, you are in a danger of losing. You hear that? Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the... Are you still awake and listening? If not, I'll have to set you free from the sleeping demon. Hallelujah. Look to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. Learn the word. Gain the word. I just go through some of it fast because we've got a lot of things to cover up, but we'll just go through some of the things fast. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. The snare of the devil. The snare. Are you with me? The snare of the... In other words, the devil has got snares. Some of you have been caught in those snares. But there's a way out for you. Until you admit and acknowledge that you are in deep in God, you're going to be like that boxer saying, nothing has happened, it's okay. Oh, my brother, he'll punch you again and again. For you to get out of that trap, you're going to say, admit the Lord. Whew. I had to admit in my own life sometimes. See, one of the signs of a genuine man of God or a prophet is there'll be scars of a battle on him. You hear that? The scars of a battle will be upon him if a genuine man of God. If a genuine prophet, he will find the scars of a battle upon him. If he's not, he might not be a prophet, but he might be a prophet. Doing ministry for profit, that's all. Are you with me? P-R-O-F-I-T. Doing for his own gratification or for money or acknowledgement or respect or reputation and all that. But genuine prophets of God, they will have scars upon them. There are times you get a blow or two and you get up again. I've been hit a couple of times, or a couple of times would be less. Would be minimizing the truth. Quite a lot of times. But hallelujah, I've got up again. Are you with me? As long as you stay in the fight, you can't lose. Don't throw in the towel and get out. Get up again and stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The snare of the enemy, there are many snares that are mentioned there. Not scares, snares. Well, scares also is a part of this thing. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. And those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. You hear that? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. And those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. I've seen people with genuine calling in the weakest moment of their lives, an opportunity for a great business or a great thing has come about. And immediately, you know what's happened? They've forgotten the Lord and the calling. They said, ah, yeah, good. A new job comes up. A new business, that's fine. I'm not against jobs and work, but you need to discern. What is what? Which is which? Are you with me? Which is which? Is it a snare of the enemy? I don't know. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Open with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Amen. You come to your senses as you hear the word of the Lord. Are you with me? Well, the Spirit of God begins to bring in the word of God and come to your senses. And that's how you come out of it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Some of the snares are pride, love of money. Are you with me? Sexual immorality. You think you can sin and get away with it. And sometimes he allows you to think you can. But today or tomorrow, later tomorrow, you suddenly begin to go through the consequence of it. There's guilt and shame and fear and reproach and terribleness that you feel. And what's happening? Are you with me? It's a snare. Hallelujah. The fourth one. Fifth one, pardon me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. His devices are to rob us, to get advantage over us. It is to defraud us. That's what his devices are for. He'll try to defraud you. Are you with me? To rob you. To get an advantage over you. And that's what happens to most people, sometimes. Yeah, when the enemy tries to do that, you will suddenly find that you begin to have a thinking that you think you are on the defeated side. Are you with me? See, you begin to have this thought, oh, because I've come to the Lord, I've missed out so much in life. You haven't. You have only gained. He's trying to defraud you, deceive you. To get an advantage over you. The battle is in the mind. It comes against you. And if you believe that lie, it'll sink in. It'll become a fortress there. And everything happens in your life, you'll begin to have that kind of thought. And you will say, look what God did to me. When you should be submitting God and worshiping God and say, devil, flee. I know it's your work. Oh, hallelujah. See, but you can only submit and resist the devil, you know when? When I said the word of God, amen? Two. Listen to this. Some of you don't realize. Look to Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 149. And verses 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Underline that word, rejoice. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Underline that word, joyful. Let them praise His name with their dance. Underline that word, dance. Let them sing praises to Him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord take pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. The next word is important, the fifth one. Let the saints be joyful. Underline that word again, joyful. In glory, let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Why? Seventh verse, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind the kings with chains and the nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. It's amazing. The devil, the king, and the noble there are demonic principalities and kingships that tries to come against you, and you bind them. How? With the high praises to God in your mouth and a two-edged sword against the word and praises. Are you with me? Are you with me? And this honor have all the saints. Just not for a few people. But all the saints have this honor. The enemy that is trying to defraud you and rob you and take advantage of you and bind you, you can actually bind him instead of him binding you when you take the offensive weapon of the word of God and the high praises of our God. But what I want to highlight is two words if you want to get into that position. One is the word joyful. In other words, there's joyfulness in warfare. Joyfulness in warfare. When we think of warfare, the first thing the enemy tries to do is say, oh my God, move, battle. We have a mind problem, don't we? And so the Bible is mentioning there and saying, joyful. It's joyful because you're going to have the victory. You're going to have the final laugh. Two, what I want to highlight is the fifth word. Let the saints be joyful in glory. And let them sing aloud on their beds. What does it mean? When you go to bed, sing aloud. No. What it is saying is this. Bed speaks about rest. Your joy and your warfare comes about from a position of rest that you have in Christ. Hear that? That's why you're fasting and praying and spending time and coming to a place of rest in the Lord. You're feeling good inside. You know your sins are washed in the blood. You're feeling, that's the time saying, now let me be aggressive. You don't need that word and say, go back to sleep and think, how great thou. No. A position of rest and joy. When you're doing victory, say, hallelujah. You submit to God and resist in activity. Take the word of God, it's bind him. High praises of our God. Hear that? See, have you seen that? He tries to get the word out of you. He tries to put in things that will discourage you from worshiping the Lord and from praising the Lord. And sometimes, you begin to think like the world. You begin to think like an unbeliever who is under the devil's hand. You say, what's the use of shouting and praising and making noise? There is power in it. Amen? Hallelujah. Even Jesus, after he instituted the Lord's table, the first thing that he did was to go out and sing with his disciples. Matthew 26 says that. The first thing that he did after he instituted the table was to sing with his disciples. He knew he was going into real warfare time. Are you with me? He was getting at the time when the devil would use everything against him. Because he knew his time was at hand to give his life for your salvation and mine. And how did he prepare himself? After the table, supper, he and the disciples went out and they began to sing. And they sang joyfully. Amen. That is why in the garden, in the Gospel of John chapter 18, when those guards came to catch hold of him and said, who among you is Christ? The Lord said, I am he. Wow. Bring in your greatest weapon, devil. I am he. Can you imagine that? Why? Because the song that he had sung before was the splendor. It reinforced his will against the enemies. And that's why the enemy tries to rob you of your thanksgiving and worship and praise. I came this evening and I just walked up and I was working there. Some of them are sitting down during worship time. Some of them are lying down. Some of them are having small meditations. So I said, Lord, shall I go out and get a sword and come up there? The Lord said, no, use it from the pulpit. Take a double-edged sword and... How would you expect to get into victory and blessing if you won't obey biblical principles? You hear that? Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Still want me to continue? I like the mind that was to honor, this honor have all his saints. Look at somebody and say, this honor you have. Say it again and again and again, again and again. Hallelujah. Well, I go through this. One of the other weapons that the enemy tries to do. Look to Daniel chapter 7. The 7th chapter. And the 25th verse. Speaking about the last time before Jesus comes, the work of the Antichrist. And says in the 25th verse, the devil or the Antichrist, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High and shall persecute. That's what one version says. But the verse that I want to highlight is this. And shall wear out. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Are you with me? Imagine that. When you look at some lives, they're worn out. Why? The spirit of Antichrist is continuously hitting them with guilt and fear and discouragement and depression and all that, continuously, bum, 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 bum. And they have no longer a spiritual energy inside of them to go on. Yeah. Wash down the saints of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But not we're not going to be worn out. We're going to be recharged. That's why we have seasons of fasting and prayer, time of worshiping the Lord, getting in with intensity. Somebody was telling me, you know, in the phase of fasting and prayer, my brother here was telling me that, you know, he's reading the word again, 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 listening to the old talks that I preached before, again, again. Everything was going in. I mean, beautiful. Fill your mind, your heart, your system again with the word. Goes in. Fear of the word. You sit there silently before the Lord even. That's fine. We had some of you are being led to a time of rest. Just resting in the Lord. You sit for prayer and you find so peace. The peace of God. Are you with me? Some of you find new anointing coming up. Rising. Why? Getting refreshed. Charged up. It's because we have an enemy and because there are times of battles and seasons like that. Now we have times when the church meets together, fast and pray and spend time in the presence of God, seeking the face of God, consecrating their lives and making sure where is the enemy deceived, where is the enemy trying to defraud me, which are the wiles of the enemy, what have I fallen into, which snare have I fallen into, how I can get out of it. Are you with me? Remember, there's no damage which the devil does against you if you're a believer. It's permanent. But he will make you to believe it is permanent. That's why some people, they are called, but they'll be in a thing, oh my God, now I've blown it up. Now no more do I have a calling. In other words, what they're thinking is that failure is permanent. Are you with me? It's a lie of the enemy. If you're believing that I again say it over you, it's a lie of the enemy. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And next word, the sixth, seventh one, the eighth one, I suppose. Luke 22 and verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31. And maybe I'll stop with this tonight. So much material, but we're just going to look some of them. Luke 22 verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. Doesn't fill you with peace when you know that Jesus is praying for you? Hallelujah. Let me tell you. Hallelujah. If the enemy is attacking you, that is also a privilege in one way. Some people sit back and say, I have no problems. I pity you. Hallelujah. You have to see whether you are born again. Are you with me? You have to see whether you are born again, whether you are a child of God, whether you have experienced resurrection life. Hallelujah. When you have, the devil is mad because he knows you have something which is enough to put him out. And so he will try every kind of deception to against your life to make sure that you don't believe the truth of the word of God, so that he can neutralize your effectiveness for the kingdom of God. Are you with me? Your effectiveness for the kingdom of God is neutralized. Have you seen that? That's the reason. Some of you, the minute if I would ask you to come lead worship, the minute you try to do that, you will find that every kind of condemnation, thought, guilt, fear, pain, everything comes about. Are you with me? In other words, he's doing that against you to neutralize you. But don't fall for that. There is not a single day into the pulpit which I come where I do not feel as accusation or as anger or as violence against my soul. I haven't given to it. That must be the devil off that phone. Hallelujah. Never keep your cell phones on in this meeting. Are you with me? I don't know whose cell phone it is, whoever it is. Once mine also rang. My God, mine is also on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Judge. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. The reason he sifts you is to separate you. Are you with me? The reason that word sift is to separate. And that's what he tries to do. That's one of his works. He tries to separate you from your faith or remove. Sifting is to remove. The chaff is removed from the grain or from the wheat. Move. Sifting is for that. He tries to do that against your faith. He tries to sift you out of your love for the Lord. And that's why you say, I don't feel love for Jesus. I don't think I love the Lord. Love is not a feeling, it's a decision. It's trying to believe, get you to believe a lie. It tries to separate you from your consecration, from your faithfulness, from your watchfulness, from your prayer life, from the rest of the saints, from your weekly meetings. Are you with me? Tries to separate you. And that's why, you know, in the beginning I would find that whenever after I was born again, whenever I wanted to go in for fellowship, to go to the place where I'm supposed to go, to my spiritual father's place where they have to have worship, the minute I'm able to step out, something or the other would come about. Important things. Either my mother would come and say, spend time with the family, please. What good is your faith without spending time with the family? Or suddenly guests come in. Guests come in, you get in and get out. Or suddenly your work comes in. Suddenly the contract that you were looking for suddenly falls right on the dot of the time when you're about to get out. And I think it must be God. Just call up someone in the ministry and say, pray, huh? God is opening a way. When you go there, it's the devil's way. Nothing has happened. You hear that? I'm telling you practical thing that happened. That which you idolize or that which holds your attention, that will be the thing that comes against you the minute you're supposed to go out. Separate you. And I had to take decisions every day. No, no, no. And the devil knew he couldn't get me there. So I have no attacks now. You know, whoever tells me when I'm about to obey the Lord in going for a crusade or ministry, nobody tells me now. But it didn't happen that way in the beginning. There were 100 million people who would say, don't go, don't do this. Come on, please. They all look reasonable. They all look responsible. They have the appearance of something good. But you discern. Are you with me? Come on, church. You discern those things. Now, I didn't call anybody then other than you devil. No. I just discern. That's all. And you act in wisdom and say something sweet and nice and get out. And when that doesn't work, you get angry and get out. Forgive me, Lord. Hallelujah. To sift you. To remove. You know, I don't know. It can be simple things in your prayer life. What are you removed from your prayer life? Some of you have seen you praying in the long hours before now. Where's your prayer life? Where is it? Has the devil sifted you out of it? Moved you out of it? Spend time in prayer. I used to remember, you know, when I used to pray in the beginning, I used to pray and I used to get on my knees and pray. Every time I used to pray, I used to pray on my knees. And after some time, my knees began to have a problem. And so I went to the doctor said, don't kneel down. It happens to preachers. It happens to people who are religious. They had a problem with my knees. So the doctor said, don't. So I said, that's sensible. And I stopped kneeling down. I started to walk and pray. I walk and pray. Suddenly, the problem in the back came about. I can't walk and pray. The back ache. The doctor said, don't do that because you're standing too much. So you're going to sit down and pray. Are you with me? Huh? I used to sit down and pray and my neck began to ache. I couldn't discern it. And I was reasonable because the doctor said, no. But after some time, I suddenly said, hey, it's the devil trying to get me out of my prayer life. You understand that? Oh, hallelujah. And the last one, Matthew 13. The 13th chapter and the 25th verse. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The tares actually resemble the wheat, but they are actually destructive to it. Are you with me? The tares actually resemble the wheat. But they are destructive to it. Huh? Hear that? The tares resemble the wheat, but are destructive to it. What am I trying to tell you? There will be a lot of people who you will find that might resemble a believer, but might not. It might be destructive to it, to your growth in the Lord. Now, Paul spoke about in Galatians 2, many having crept into the church. Are you with me? I know people who have crept into the church not for worshiping the Lord, not for hearing the word, not for growing in the Lord. They just come in, maybe they just come in to find a marriage partner. See, no, they might have the same spiritual talk, but they're not the weak. You hear that? There's nothing wrong with you marrying a believer. What I'm saying is put your priorities right. There are people who have come here just to see somebody else. Just to, you know, and it's the best of the society that's coming in. God is pulling them in to gather your relationships up, social contacts up. See, you're in danger. Are you with me? Well, make sure we are really, really, it resembles the wheat. Hear that? resembles the wheat, but might not be. The people who come into the church to destroy somebody else. You make sure that, sure. Are you with me? Now, I used to say, Lord, what do I do? Well, the ministry was quite early in the time. I used to make sure that the tares, I could catch them by the ear and rebuke them. As the ministry kept increasing, I can't. So, Lord, what do we do? The Lord said, do. No, no, no. You can't do it, son. Some might be there till the end of age. The Lord allowed it to grow. But you make sure that you warn them, and they keep their guard. That's all you do as a minister of the gospel. Then the blood is off your hands. You've done your part. Hear that? You and we need to understand we are in a battlefield. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Hear that? I close with this final word, Ephesians chapter 6. So make sure that you really, 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 really spend time with the Lord. Now, I couldn't get into the loopholes through which the enemy comes in, but some of them I outlined, but not into the depth. Just could give you something to remember and to make sure. But some of them you really need to know. So hope the Lord will teach us that in due time. But look to this. Now, how to take God and stand against it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now that is amazing. The first equipment in your spiritual warfare, which the Lord is saying there, is the belt. The belt is what keeps the entire armor together. Are you with me? The belt is that which keeps the entire armor together. So if you think of taking the sword and the shield, all that without putting on the belt first, you are in big trouble. Hear that? It says here, having girded your waist with truth. Truth. In other words, what God expects is honesty, transparency. He's saying, listen, you're going to fight the enemy? Come to me, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Be transparent about your whole thing. If you've been attacked, and if you're falling prey to the enemy in one side, and if he's kept you in bondage in one area, be truthful about it. Admit it. Be open about it. Share with me what you're going through. Be transparent before me. Let my blood wash you and clean you up. Don't put on an act. Don't put on superficiality or pretense. Are you with me? Don't be superficial or just don't put on a pretense. Be truthful about your spiritual standard. Be truthful about who you are, where you are, what's happened to you. And one of the things that can happen is you come into a church which seems to be bubbling with fire, with enthusiasm, and say, oh, I need to be a spiritual giant. No, 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 no. Be transparent. Be truthful. And you can pray in loud voice, Ramba jala hakka duran jalam dinagama manasiya, and all that. Hallelujah. And inside your belly, there might be not an ounce of truth. Are you with me? The first thing that you do is put on the belt. In other words, be honest. Be honest about what you've done, where you've been. Be honest. Be transparent. Let there be nothing for the devil to point his finger at. Get your life right. Boom. Transparent before me. Hebrews 4:13 says everything is laid bare before the Lord. In other words, you can never fight a spiritual battle or win if you have pretense and hypocrisy in your life. Be truthful. Don't feel pressurized to put on an act. Are you with me? You hear that? Come on, church. Oh, hallelujah. Are you learning something precious tonight? Be transparent. Just get back. That's why I might have messed up 100 million times, but every time I repent, I turn to the Lord, I make sure I'm genuine. Are you with me? I've messed up 100 million times. But when I get to the Lord, I get to the place and say, Lord. Some of my spiritual sons know how I mess up. When I get on my face, I really get on my face. Transparent. Everything is thrown to the Lord and shown. Are you with me? Truth. Say truth. Gird your waist with truth. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. The belt. Hallelujah. The belt there. Keeps the rest of the equipment together. Let's go to this fast because it's going to be. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. After truth comes the breastplate. The breastplate is for your heart. Righteousness in your heart. Amen. I won't go to the details of it. And having showed your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. The third comes the readiness with your feet. Once your heart and your waist is right with the Lord. Are you with me? Then you can put on the shoes. Don't try to put on the shoes first. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you imagine walking about naked with just shoes on? Hallelujah. You wouldn't like it in the natural, would you? It might be a Reebok or it might be the best shoes. Gucci or whatever. Hallelujah. But you wouldn't want that shoes alone. Amen. Your waist, the belt. Aha. The belt is supposed to cover up all the area of your sexuality, everything. That's how the belt works, with truth. We're just not a small, thin one. That old lady, are you with me? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Underline that word, all. The fiery darts, not just some, everyone. And then they take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I'm not going into details of it. The helmet of salvation in your head. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Amen. Now, I stop with that because we'll see if we can get into it later on tomorrow, if God leads us. But tomorrow we're just coming together to pray. Are you with me? We're going to come together to pray. We're going to lift up areas of our life and pray. Amen. Each one of you are going to pray. It's not just a couple of people standing here and leading you in prayer. You're going to take the word and you're going to pray. Are you with me? Tomorrow evening is the time of prayer. We come on sharp on time, 6 o'clock. So that you'll miss the first last 5 overs or 10 overs of the cricket match. And hopefully and prayerfully they're full of it. Yes? Come here, seek the face of God and pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you go back tonight, take in all the word into your system, meditate on it, prepare your heart, get truth in. Are you with me? Allow the blood of Jesus to wash you. Come with these 3 equipments. The rest of it we'll handle it later. When we come here, we'll speak on what the helmet is and all that and go into the depth of it. If the Lord leads us. Otherwise, there will be no preaching. We're just going to pray. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and pray tonight.
presence of the Lord tonight. Father, we want to thank you for tonight. We want to thank you for the word. Lift your hands and bless his name and thank him for the word of the Lord. Utala jara handal jara matahaga jarandal hara dinasya. Utala jara handal jara rugada hatan jara dalamata mana.